9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's an NBA episode of It's Fluent Top Tens. First off, we're going to kick it off with my top 10 right now. You're going to be surprised by some of them. And in about 10 minutes, see, y'all thought I hated this guy. Y'all thought I hated LeBron James, but in 10 minutes, GOAT James Kingdom, a Johnny and B. Lee. Find out who they are. You know who they are anyways. GOAT James Kingdom are going to give us their criteria and their all-time top 10. Mo's in the comments already wrong, saying LeBron isn't a top 10 player right now. So I might be giving it away a little bit. So we're going to kick it right off with my top 10.
LeBron James.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing about my top 10. You know what I care about. This is right now. This isn't 5 years ago. This isn't 5 years from now. This isn't their careers. Killian Hayes is not in the top 10. Here's the thing. I look at points, rebounds, assists, heart, the intangible stuff. Is their team competitive? Or is their team better with them than without them? I'm saying all that because my top 10 list incorporates all of those things. I'm not even telling you. It's more than that. And then we're going to see, do these guys from GOAT James Kingdom, do they have a good criteria? I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm not here to critique their list. As you know, on its top 10s, it's about your list. As long as it meets your criteria, that's all that matters. So let's jump into my top 10 right now. And I want to first start by giving my honorable mention because I struggled with this one because I wanted to put him in my top 10 like really bad. Last year's Mr. Clutch, De'Aaron Fox. He's my honorable mention. He's my honorable mention because number 10, maybe this is a legacy pick, maybe. But right now, if I need to win a series, am I picking Fox or this guy? I'm still picking him by a little bit. I'm going with Steph Curry at number 10. I don't need to tell you who Steph Curry is. You know Steph Curry. You know what he does. He's number 10. Just barely. Listen, I think next year he might be out of that top 10. But right now, Steph Curry's still coming in at number 10. And so, you know, I'm going through my list a little bit quicker because I want to get Ajani and B. Lee in here from GOAT James Kingdom to give us their criteria and their all-time top 10. I'm going to invite you guys to come in as well and agree, disagree. I was on their show. It's been a while. And I thought it was time that they came on this show. Number nine. I know. Tank Jones, this one's going to upset you. I got SGA coming in at number 9. Still think he needs to do a little bit more. I think he still needs to do a little bit more, but I like him at number 9. It's not the Canadian thing, but maybe it is. This is right now. Number 8. Oh, sorry. Yes. GOAT James Kingdom will be giving their all-time top 10 list. Yes, correct. Number 8. This guy's going to shoot up the rankings, I think, even as the season goes on, because right now, they're the best team in the league. I told you last year, and I was right, that Cat and Gobert wouldn't work. Now there's some injuries. But then I told you this year, this was the year. They've actually made Cat untradeable because they're playing so well. And Anthony Edwards comes in at number 8. Number seven. This one's going to be low. You guys are going to argue with this one for sure. Number 7, I still think he has a step. Jason Tatum coming in at number 7. Again, remember, guys, this is right now. So I don't care what they did last year. I don't care what they're going to do in a year from now. Number six just went into that beautiful exhibition game and lost, unfortunately, in the in-season. I should say fortunately because he lost to my Lakers. So fortunately. But Tyrese Haliburton is having a heck of a year, and he probably should be higher than 6. But I got him at 6. I got Halliburton at 6. The scoring, the passing, he's doing it all. Now, that team doesn't play any defense, so still we got Halliburton at 6. At number 5, I'm about to blow someone's mind. I'm going to watch them. They're backstage. I'm going to see it, their reaction when I tell you. Number 5 right now in the NBA.
LeBron James.
Number 5. Some of you don't even have him in the top 10. Y'all crazy as I can't even cuss that you don't have him in the top 10. It's freaking LeBron James. If you have to win a series right now, you're telling me you're picking 10 other guys over LeBron James? You're nuts. Number four, my countryman, Giannis Antetokounmpo coming in at number 4. It's the defense. He still can't shoot. Number 3, I was actually just watching number 3 play. Luka Doncic coming in at number 3. Number 1 and number 2 were tough for me. I flip-flopped about 7 times on who I wanted first and who I wanted second. And so I'm putting the defending MVP at number 2, Joel Embiid, and I'm putting the defending NBA champ, finals MVP, told you winning matters, at number 1. So just to recap it before we bring on our guys from Goat James Kingdom, I'm going Curry at 10, SGA at 9, Anthony Edwards at 8, Jason Tatum at 7, Halliburton at 6,
LeBron James
at number 5, Giannis at 4, Luka at 3, Embiid at 2, and Nikola Jokic coming in as the number 1 player in the NBA right now. All right. This should be interesting. I don't know which version of Goat James Kingdom, this duo, we're going to get, because on one side, they know their stuff. They know their stats. They do their research. On the other side, you can check out my TikTok where I prove them wrong all the time because they trolling. So I don't know if we're going to get a little bit of both, or we're going to get one or the other, but we're going to bring them on. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome Goat James Kingdom, Johnny and B. Lee.
Peace, good tone.
I'm going to give you guys top.
Good, everybody.
How's it going, man? How's it going, guys? Long time no see.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. Good to see you. How you doing, Tone?
I'm doing good, man. How surprised were you at my number 5 pick?
Surprised. I'm surprised. Not Brandon. Brandon's probably not surprised, but I'm surprised.
Why are you surprised?
Well, we actually did our top 10 at the beginning of the year. I had LeBron number 4, I believe, and Johnny, I think you had him like, what, number 10?
No, he wasn't in my top 10 at all.
He was in your top 10. Okay.
He was in your top 10?
I did not have LeBron James in my top 10 to start off this NBA season. Nope.
Your channel is called Goat James Kingdom, and you didn't have him in your top 10. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because we are objective as possible. Yeah.
You know what happens when you don't have him in your top 10, right?
Oh, what happens?
You're wrong.
I have my reasons, but
yeah. He's hanging on my wall. Like, yeah, he's got to be top 10. See, y'all don't know. Y'all see my content, but you don't know the truth. All right. So who was in your top 10? Has it changed?
I mean, mine's have. How about yours, Brandon? Mine's has changed. Yes.
The only person I didn't have in my top 10, I had Kevin Durant. I didn't hear you name Kevin Durant. I had him in my top 10.
Oh, that wannabe superstar. Yeah, he's not in the top 10.
I didn't have it in my top 10. I have it in my top 10 now. He's number 10 right now.
No.
Yeah.
Why is he not playing tonight?
Well,
got a hangnail? Ingram? What do you got?
I don't know what it is today. I think he's been the second game in a row. But the big three is supposedly coming back very, very soon. That's what the
report says. What do you mean coming back? They haven't played one game together.
I mean, that's what they said. I mean.
It's not coming back if it's
well, never. Oh, you're right. You know what? My bad. The report was they're going to make their debut. Yeah, they're going to make their debut. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, let's see. Let's see how Book, because this is the first time Book and Beal are playing together this season. So let's see how just the two of them do. All right. So other than KD,
and you didn't. Probably.
Your top 10. If you did. LeBron wasn't.
I got LeBron in there. Okay, if LeBron was in it, when I started, I had a rule: you had to have played 60 games plus the year prior. So if you didn't make 60 games plus, you didn't make the top 10 automatically. So that's why LeBron didn't make it. That's why KD didn't make it. That's why Stephen Curry didn't make it. But I had it. It was number 10, it was Ant-Man. Number 9, it was Donovan Mitchell. Number 7 was, number 8 was Trae Young. Number 7 was Jaylen Brown. Then I had SGA. And then the top 5, which, you know, I thought everybody would agree, starting the season was Luka, Tatum, Embiid, Joker, and Giannis. That was my top 10 to start the season. But now I got to put LeBron in there. I got to put KD in there. And I got to put Halliburton in there. So I took out Jaylen Brown. I took out who else? Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, and who's in that back end? And I think Trae Young to get those guys in.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell and Trae Young are not top 10. See, watch. You get guys in the chat, right, who say LeBron ain't top 10, mm-hmm. but then they say stuff like this is how you know they say you don't know, not you. Yeah. Embiid's a bum. Okay.
Embiid's
a bum. All right.
Casual.
Uh-oh. Hear that, Mo? Johnny called you a casual. All right. So the reason you're here is all-time top 10. You guys went through and made a bunch of criteria. So first, let's break down the criteria before we get into your top 10.
Okay.
And I'm writing it down because, you know me, I'm going to look for flaws in your math.
Now, the first off,
math.
yeah. All right. Now, first off, we don't have the most. We don't have a flawless criteria, but we do have what we call the most objective and comprehensive criteria to date. And we're looking forward to anyone that could actually match it or help us make a better one. So again, the point of our criteria is to be as objective as possible. So we have removed our biases. Brandon and I had our own separate criteria that we created at one point to have our own list. So what we did was we kind of combined it to make it more objective. So we removed our biases and we picked out what was best of our criteria to make it the best. So basically it was based off of what Brandon did. And what Brandon did was he graded players towards the greatest accomplishments of all time. So if Michael Jordan's 30.1 points per game is the greatest accomplishments for point per game average, he gets 100 for that. He gets a grade of 100. That's the greatest accomplishment any player can have as far as points per game. And we graded everybody by those categories. So we went by your per game averages for your career, your totals for your career, all the accolades that existed. We also used the advanced stats. And then we separated by playoffs and regular season. So it's 4 separate categories in total. The max score that a player can get is 80 all the way across the board. You get 10 for each category is the max score you can get. So the closer your score ends up at the end to that 80 shows how great you are compared to the rest of the world, because that would be considered the greatest player ever if you got all 10s.
So if you lead in points per game, you get a 10.
Yes.
And then how do you go down from there for someone who has less?
Yeah, so someone like LeBron James, who has 27 points per game, what we do is we take LeBron's 27.2 points per game and compare it to 30, which is something like 80-something percent, like 90-something percent. Brandon, you're on mute.
I'm saying 90%, yeah. Basically, like, LeBron scored 90% of what Jordan scored on the averages. So we took the averages, we used points.
9.
Yeah, exactly. Now you are such a smart man, Tony. You are such a smart man. So what we did was we took the 90% and times it times 10, right? And it becomes 9 points. So basically, LeBron James is basically 90% of Jordan's greatness when it comes to points per game.
Okay.
You see, we did it down the line. So you got points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, blocks per game, steals per game. And what we made sure we did too also was that we used categories that did not give advantage to any era, any play style, or any position. So we made sure that even the players, yeah, I know it's confusing. No,
it's not confusing. It's just it's incorrect. Because even points per game gives an advantage to certain eras because of the pace that they played. Positions, rebounds. For example, a center on average averages 3 more rebounds than the average shooting guard in the history of the NBA. So that's just positionally biased, just
Glad that you said that. Glad that you said that. What we did to do to rectify that problem with the rebounds, specifically the rebounds, we didn't think the points per game was an issue, but the rebounds, as you stated, was clearly an issue because of guard play. So what we did was anybody pre-merger of the NBA was graded towards Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell's rebounding. So Wilt Chamberlain is number one in rebounds in regular season and as far as totals and per game. Bill Russell is in the playoffs, right? So anybody who played before 1976 was graded towards them. After 1976, anybody who played after that, there was graded against Moses Malone and Dennis Rodman's numbers.
And what'd you do for blocks?
Oh, that's a great question as well. For the stats that did not exist, we could not make them count, so we just eliminated them. That it just doesn't count. So as an example, when we mentioned we were doing points.
Nobody's blocks count?
No. As far as if those records were not there for you, it just doesn't count. So as an example, Michael Jordan has points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. So Jordan scores 9 on points. He scores, 6 on rebounds. He scores, 4 and down the line. That gives him a total score at the end, and we divide that by the 5 categories that he scored it with, which gives him a total score. I could actually show you a kind of preview of it with Stephen Curry to give you an idea. So, but when we're doing someone like Wilt Chamberlain, what we do is we just
You divide by 4 because your blocks are out of it.
By 3 because we don't have steals as well.
Blocks and steals.
Right. So blocks and steals. So
we have, because when they looked at Bill Russell, I think with the game film that they had, mm-hmm. I think they encountered it. He was averaging 8 rebounds or 8 steals a game, which is unfortunate because that would probably bump him and Wilt up a little bit. But anyways, I digress. Okay, continue.
Yeah, no, and we agree with you there. We also agree with you there. Actually, my personal criteria, I gave Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell 1 and 2 in steals and blocks per game and totals for career. Because if you said it was 8, I gave them 4 per game just to be nice. You said it was 8. I would agree with you. I would say it's 8.
Bill, I think they looked at Bill just on the footage that they had.
Yeah.
And extrapolated out, and it was 8.8.
Yeah, I gave him 4. Mm-hmm. If you give him 4 blocks a game,
4 would be the highest anyway. So he'll get 10 no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
down here. So
yeah, okay. So that's what we did as far as the players who didn't have those stats available for them. Same thing with the accolades, right? So we graded Mikan. Mikan wasn't available for MVP. He wasn't available for a certain awards. We only graded him for the awards that were available to him. So there was 7 total accolades that we graded. We only graded Mikan for the 2 that he was available for, which was All-Stars and All-NBA.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how we did it. Everybody had a score.
What about? I know. I'm asking a lot of questions.
No, we love this. You're the smartest Michael Jordan fan we encounter. We've explained this to plenty of people.
He always say he's not a Jordan fan. He keeps saying that.
He's not even a Jordan.
That's what he keeps saying.
That's just because, yeah. He's not
No. He has to be because they keep tagging me on Sports Fluence pages. On Sports Fluence fans.
Tag me because I'm fluent in everything, but and I think I'm the only one that can defend him with half a brain, other than saying he's 6-0.
Well, that's true.
But hello,
little man. What's up, little man? Hey, can you have your son say LeBron James for us real quick? Just have him go say LeBron James. Say LeBron James on the microphone.
Who's your favorite player?
Giannis.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Giannis. Okay, that's what's up. Shout out to Giannis.
His is Curry. His is Curry.
Oh, not Curry.
So sorry, I was going to go back. So what about guys? Okay, Wilt. Wilt's another good example here when you talk about accolades. All defensive team was not available, and then it was available.
Yeah, right? I think he only got a few of them. He got like 2?
He got 4 of them? No, I think he got 4.
No. 2. He has 2. He has 2. I can look it up right quick. I got some of the numbers here.
I know he has 1 or 2 more than Bill Russell, but I know it was because of the year that it came out.
We didn't count it for Bill Russell because it wasn't fair to give him 1 and compare him to somebody who has 15, which is Tim Duncan. He would have at least 11. We think 13 totally, to be honest with you. But again, we didn't want to be subjective. We just wanted to account for what they actually did. So we didn't want I believe he would have 5 defensive player of the years, 13 all defensive selections, but we don't have the actual records to say what it would be. So for all time,
you took just the grand total. You didn't divide it by how many games played or years or anything like that.
No, we didn't account for how many games you played. That wasn't a part of the criteria. It was just your points, just your totals, and your playoff points. Remember, and your career. So remember, we're counting every category. There's four separate categories for the playoffs and the regular season. There's per game averages, totals, accolades, and the advanced stats.
Because that, again, you know how I feel about doing that, because then you have guys like, and I know these guys wouldn't be in the top 10, obviously, but you have a guy like Bill Cartwright, who scored more career points than Gilbert Arenas. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's why we use all type. We don't use just one. Don't use total points.
So basically,
I understand that, but it skews that category, right? Because if you play a lot,
not at all.
Tony Parker, who has more playoff points when you do playoffs than Dirk Nowitzki, Wilt Chamberlain, Steph Curry, all those guys, it skews that one category, does it not?
Not at all, because we're taking more than points in a postseason. So just because he score higher in points in totals does not mean that he's scoring higher in averages in the regular season, advanced stats.
I'm saying in that playoff category, because a guy like Tony Parker, for example, played more games than all those guys, his numbers are going to look like, if you were just doing point guards, for example, he would look to be much higher on that list, right? Because the points and all other statistics are higher because he played so many more games. Correct.
Yeah, but he'll be low in other categories. That's why. It would even out.
Yeah, the reason. Like we said, like we're using points, assists, rebounds, blocks, and steals, averages, and totals, and we're using advanced stats as well, and we're using accolades, because just because he has more total points than Dirk Nowitzki doesn't mean that he has higher in other categories. We're taking a lot of different categories, not just points. In total,
so you're saying even though one might be skewed because of whatever, the other stuff, when you add it all up, it'll average out in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so as an example,
averages and totals. Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking at Wilt Chamberlain as an example because you brought him up, right? Wilt Chamberlain scores a 4.5 in the playoffs for his total points, right? Because that is 45% of LeBron's 8,000, right?
And then he's okay.
But he's 95% of rebounds. So he scores 9.5 on rebounds. Tony Parker's not getting nowhere near that. Because
Yeah, for sure. But that was same.
So that's how same thing with Bill Cartwright and Arenas, right? So Bill Cartwright might score more on the totals, right? Because he has more points. But when we go to the averages, Gilbert Arenas' 20 points is closer to Michael's 30 than Cartwright's 14 points per game.
Or whatever,
So you
add them together, it averages out. Okay.
Exactly. And if you want, there is a way we can look at it now to explain it better.
Share
the screen. If you can share the screen. So this is a good way to look at it, because everyone loves Stephen Curry, right? You said your child loves him, your son loves him. So this is the way we look at it here, right? So if you look at the top, that's for the regular season. So if we start all the way to the left on the top, you'll see that you get the points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, steal per game, blocks per game. So Stephen Curry's points per game, his career average is 82% of what Michael Jordan's greatness is, as 30.1 per game. So he gets 8.2. So as you add all that up together and you divide it by five, he scores a 4.82 and per game averages for the regular season out of a total of 10.
Okay.
So we go down the line and do the same thing for everything. So those four categories, when you add all four of the numbers at the end, Stephen Curry's regular season number is a 16.77 out of 40 in the regular season. And we do the same thing for the playoffs. He scored 17.43 in the playoffs. So his total score is 34.20 out of 80 total scores, which made him 27th all time on our list.
Okay. 27th.
Yeah, this was a top 50 list that we did. So he ended up being 27th on the list. Yes.
Ooh wee.
Yes.
Would you, if you didn't do this criteria, where do you think you'd have him?
Oh, I don't even have him in my top 30, so let's not even go there with me. Go ahead, Brandon.
The greatest shooter of
Curry.
Hold on. I'm not gonna let you just speed right past that.
Hey, yo.
The greatest shooter of all time, with no debate, you have not even in the top 30. when you're the greatest at something all time, that doesn't automatically get to the top.
Let me ask you a question, Fluent. Where do you have Reggie Miller rank in your top 100?
Near the end of it?
Ray Allen.
Probably in the 70s somewhere.
Okay, so those were considered the two of the greatest shooters of all time before Steph Curry, right?
I don't think we ever said Reggie Miller or Ray Allen was just the greatest shooter ever, no question. We said now he might have been a good three-point shooter for his time. Although Ray Allen did more, like in his early career, right? He'd drive to the basket. He could do other things, but I don't think Ray Allen or Reggie Miller had anywhere near the impact to a game or to the NBA as Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's different, more than an impact. But people always say because he's the greatest shooter, he should be ranked higher. But other great shooters are not ranked nowhere close to the top 50.
Like who would you say was the greatest shooter prior to Stephen Curry, Tom?
You know, I don't know that I ever gave anyone that crown. I would have probably said there's a ton of great shooters, but there wasn't.
So what you're saying, because
the way the game was played, I think because the way the game was played, I think Ray Allen was maybe considered the best three-point shooter, but it didn't impact the game as much. Cause if you look at the just because of the volume, three-point shooting didn't come into the league until 1980. And as teams, they were shooting two or three a game. By the mid 90s, it was only around 12.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then by the time Ray Allen was gone, it was still maybe 15. Now we're talking about 30 to 40 threes a game. It is now almost 50% of all shots taken. So it's now a significant part of the game where it wasn't before. So there was a lot of conversation about guys who could shoot, but we didn't even have the breakdown of the you know, 0 to 3 feet, 3 to 6. We didn't even have that till like 96, 97.
Mm-hmm, so exactly.
We didn't have all those stats. It was next to impossible. You were just going by your objective, saying, you know, it's Bird, right? It's because he was clutch, or it was Ray Allen, or it was Reggie Miller, or you could throw a bunch of things at, but you couldn't add anything to your objective opinion until very recently.
I think the problem with it, people think of shooters as 3-point shooters.
Correct.
I think that's like it's not people who actually analyze. Most people, like in the media, they consider 3-point shooters as the greatest shooters. So that's just what they think. So that's why most people think that.
But let me ask you two gentlemen this, because I was asked this yesterday. Recently, someone asked me, you know, who is the greatest shooter? Do we go by the 3-pointers made or their percentage?
You should go by both.
That's what I would think as well. I mean, I would go by percentage, and then obviously how much they've made as well.
Should go by, and you know, according to your logic, you should also go by their totals. How many total threes they shot?
No, I mean, I would consider, if you ask me a 3-point score, now I'm going to go to your totals. But if you ask me by your shooting, I would think efficiency. I'm thinking I will go to percentage. That's just me. That's why I'm asking that. But you know.
You got to be careful with percentage, because if I ask you who's the greatest based on percentage shooting Curry in the history of the NBA, who would it be?
His brother Seth.
Incorrect.
Dale Curry.
Incorrect.
I thought it was Steve Kerr, but I don't know who it is.
No. I said Curry.
Yeah, there's only three of them. No, there's four.
Just talking about the Currys.
Just talking about Curry's. Who's
Steph.
The highest?
I said Seth, right? I didn't say Steph.
I thought Steph is the higher shooter.
Seth.
Seth is incorrect.
No, it is. Who is it? There's another Curry?
It's Eddie.
Other than Dale.
1,000%. Eddie Curry, 1 for 1. Eddie Curry, 1 for 1. He shot a perfect 100%. Eddie Curry. He went 1 for 1 on his career.
And he's undefeated in the finals.
Has he made the finals?
Yeah.
He actually washed from the bench with the Heat.
Oh, was he on that team? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm multitasking. Okay, so keep going. Sorry, keep going. I got us distracted with the Seth, with the Curry thing.
No, that was a good one. That was good. So, again, I mean, I guess for what you're saying, Fluent, as far as your Stephen Curry impact would be, again, his impact on the game. Which we would never argue that. I don't think you're putting him in there because he's the best shooter ever. You're basically saying, hey, he's he's the greatest shooter.
He's the greatest shooter ever. Not like not even debatable. He's a good playmaker. He's, you know, he's his steals, his everything that he does in the game of basketball. But I, you know, when you're good at everything and then you're the greatest at something, for me, I just think that puts you into the top 30 at minimum. No,
I can't put nobody who's a current player in my top 30 yet besides GOAT James. I actually, right now, the only person that actually recently got the ability to be there is Kevin Durant, now that he's top 10 all-time scoring, passing Dan Issel, like I told you he would. And then we have that's really it. Stephen Curry, I just think if he gets his 10th All-NBA, that would kind of solidify him, and he would be somewhere in my 20 to 20.
So there's no current players in your top 30?
No. I can't see putting them in front of Elvin Hayes, Rick Barry, Barkley. Those are the type of guys I have between 25 and 30.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
You know, Cousy. I think it's Cousy. Yeah, Rick Barry, Cousy, Elvin Hayes, Charles Barkley. Those are the guys that I have 25 to like 30.
So we're going to jump into your number 10 all time based on, now we kind of have a visual of the criteria. Mm-hmm. Let us also briefly stop because this is something you'll appreciate. Do you remember that Wade to it was a bounce pass, by the way, to LeBron James. Do you remember that play?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Jennings misses the three. Loose ball rebound. Gobbled up by Dwayne Wade. Here he comes with LeBron. Oh, my. Again, a crusher from high above the rim at the Bradley Center.
We got a shout out to you. We got a shout out Fluent Jr. for recreating that at his game over the weekend.
Now, did you show that to Lowe so Lowe can see what a real pass looks like? Did you do that?
No, I didn't.
That was a difficult pass. That was a great pass.
See that beautiful tip pass? Yeah. Lowe doesn't know how to play basketball. All right. So let's go. What do you got at number? Do you have visuals, by the way? Because I have two more videos because we're gonna show little Fluent Jr. His first quarter scoring because he went on a bit of a tear.
I have visuals for the top five.
Yeah, okay, for the top five. All right, so let's go. Let's go with number. So who you got at number 10?
Dr. J.
Dr. J.
Dr. So J is number 10.
Break us down a little bit. You don't have to go through all the criteria, but again, how does Dr. J rank so high? Because I don't think I've heard anyone have Dr. J in the top 10.
Oh, he gets ranked high because we did add the ABA records to this.
Okay.
So we did not exclude ABA records at all. We do count the ABA records. So being that he has two MVPs there, I believe three there, if I'm correct, two championships there. He has 30,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 2,000 steals.
And so did you give his ABA blocks. Records? You gave his ABA records equal?
Yes. All ABA is the same as all NBA. MVP, same thing. We think that the ABA was just as equal as the NBA. As far as talent-wise.
So can I just, again, I'm playing devil's advocate because you said this was not subjective. It was the most objective, and you just said something that was extremely subjective by we think the ABA was just as good as the NBA.
Yeah, but that's why we added it. We don't think they should be excluded. That's what we're saying. It would be subjective to exclude it.
Yeah, he didn't get bonus points because of what we think. We just put his numbers there in his awards.
Yeah, we just did with his ABA records.
If the ABA was lesser than, then the competition was lesser than, and so now you're making it equal to. It'd be like counting G League stats. No?
Yeah, no, because that's where the subjectivity falls at. Whether we think it's equal or less, the fact is it existed, and a lot of the great players that we know went to that league and played in that league.
And so it's a professional league, so it's equal?
Yeah, and it merged with the ABA and NBA.
Did you add, is Oscar Schmidt on your list?
He didn't play in the NBA.
So he had to play at least a little bit in the end. So if he played in
we didn't count ABA players.
Count his other professional league?
If you played only in the ABA, you didn't get counted. It's only the players that played in the ABA and the NBA.
So if you're in the ABA and the, and if you're in the ABA and NBA, you counted all of their stats collectively as one. Okay.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I love Dr. J. I think Dr. J at number 10 is fantastic. Fluent Jr. has Jerry West at number 10. I have no idea why, but he does. So that's fine. It's respectable. I don't think Dr. J gets enough love. So, okay. Dr. J at number 10. Number 9.
Shaquille O'Neal, your favorite Laker after Kobe?
Neither one of them's my favorite Laker.
Oh, no? Oh, I'm wrong then. Okay.
Kobe's number two. Number two. Magic's one.
But we have Shaquille O'Neal number 9.
Number 9. Shaq, I think Shaq's 5 on my favorite Laker list because I got Worthy at 3. But anyways, different conversation. Again, you're saying favorite. So you got to
Yeah, I know. I know. I understand. It's fine.
All right, so you got Shaq. So Shaq, is it just a matter of rebounds, points, championship, just a combination of stuff? Is there a stat or something that stood out when you guys were doing this with Shaq?
I can go look up Shaq's numbers, but to tell you the difference between him and Dr. J, Shaq scored 42.86. Dr. J scored 42.32. So it's by 0.5 points in general between Shaq and Dr. J. But Shaq scores high because of his playoff numbers as well. Shaq has great playoff numbers. So across the board, he scored high there.
And he didn't lose because of his, you know, his Cleveland, Boston, Phoenix years where his numbers were
not. No, because eventually
that's probably why he's number 9, because his averages and totals went down.
Yeah, he would probably score high.
Yes, his averages mm-hmm. for sure went down. And then my other question is, and I forgot to ask you this before. Mm-hmm. Eye test, dominance, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Nothing that's intangible. If you know, like we can't, we wanted again, which we were trying to remove our biases, remove our subjectivity, make it as objective as possible. Just go off of the numbers and let the numbers tell us, because again, Jordan's 30 points per game is the greatest points per game of all time. So that is considered great. That's how we saw it. Kareem's 6 MVPs. That's just the greatest in MVPs. That's just how we graded it. We just said those are the greatest accomplishments. So we're grading you towards those accomplishments, not what we think it is. None of that. These are the greatest accomplishments that exist in NBA history for every category that people love to talk.
So, did you add in any of the negatives?
No, because we're doing the greatest of all time. We didn't think negativity would be a part of it. Again, that's a part of subjectivity.
Well, no, like missed shots, turnovers, those types of things, losses. Like if you include wins, you're not including losses. Is that, I just want, again, I'm just asking the question so we know.
No, I don't know, Brandon. We didn't use wins. We didn't use playoff appearances. This is something I'm gonna do when I do my criteria. But the thing with like turnovers was like field goal percentages. Field goal percentages give the big men and the guys who are in the interior more advantages than perimeter players. Same thing with turnovers. Turnovers give the guys who are just shooters like Reggie Miller, Carmelo Anthony, Klay Thompson an advantage over playmakers like Stockton, Magic. Because of the, you know, Karl Malone, because they're playmakers. So we didn't want to use those categories. The missed shots is the same thing. We're going to punish volume shooters. No, we didn't want to make it subjective. We wanted to make sure it was objective.
So you should punish volume shooters if they don't make a lot of their shots.
That's what I'm saying. But then that would fall in the line.
Take away, again, I'm just, why wouldn't you take away from LeBron and Magic, who had a lot of turnovers, versus a John Stockton who didn't, and you know, who should be given a bonus for what he did, being able to have that many assists without having all those turnovers? Like, shouldn't he get an edge on that?
Well, I mean, he got an edge already for the 15,000 assists. That's right. The greatest accomplishment ever. It's not a negative for them for have either the turnovers that they had.
Right, but the gap between his assists and turnovers is larger than the gap of those other guys. And I just, why, if it's objective, why wouldn't you give them a bonus for having that bigger gap between their assists and turnovers?
Because that would mean we would be grading them for being point guards more than being the greatest players.
Well, you're rewarding the centers for their rebounds because they were 7 foot tall, sitting under the rim, just gobbling up rebounds.
And we're
you didn't say that doesn't count because they're seven footers just standing there gobbling up rebounds in an era that shot 40% versus now an era that shoots 50%.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why we didn't go off of field goal percentages. That's what I'm saying. You're asking us to use the field goal percentages because
I'm not asking you to use the field goal percentage. I'm asking you, did you use any negative stat?
No, that we didn't use no negatives because we don't look for negatives. Yeah, okay. No, we don't do that.
All right, next. So we got
Shaq was number nine. Shaq was number nine.
Shaq at nine. Okay, number eight.
Magic Johnson.
That hurts. Magic.
Well, Brandon could explain that because in my criteria, he didn't make the top 10, but Brandon's criteria and the way we set this up, Magic is number one in a lot of categories.
Magic didn't make the top 10.
In my criteria, yeah, he actually ended up not making it. Yeah, it was. I have a different criteria.
Clearly. Greatest point guard of all time. Went to 9 NBA finals in 13 seasons. Not top 10.
Yeah, I know. It was hard for me to accept it.
All right. Well,
he was top 10 in mine because I use numbers and basically accolades only. So it was easy for Magic to be in the top 10 because of what he did in his career. So our top 10 didn't really – well, what we're doing didn't really benefit if someone played a short career or a long career. It benefited great players. So since Magic Johnson played a shorter career, it didn't really hurt him in our criteria.
Yeah, because he has so many great – he's number one in assists. He's, you know, so he has so many categories he's so high at. So he was going to rank high anyways.
When you did this, I guess, B. Lee, you put this together. When you did this, did you think about looking at, like, by or adding in a category by position?
Not really, because I was looking basically from the greatest players of all time, because if you do by positions, it's not fair because every player played different positions. LeBron played four positions. Tim Duncan played two positions. Magic Johnson played a lot of positions. He was so versatile, and Michael Jordan basically stuck to one position, so I guess that will help certain players out, but that's why I use all time, everyone, records, where you rank at.
Okay. So we got Magic at eight. Ay, ay, ay. Number seven.
Hakeem Olajuwon, the Dream.
Okay. That's fair. I think that's fair. Again, just as we go through the list, anything that stands out about when you did it?
Hakeem was a shocker to both of us.
I'm asking questions as I think of them. When you say accolades, did you include like leading the league in certain categories?
Yes, scoring titles, rebounding titles, block titles, steals titles, assist titles were all included.
Those included in accolades, okay.
Yeah.
That's the first time I did it, I didn't include those because those are included in their numbers. So I didn't include those, but in this one, we included it.
In this one, it's included. And you did the same thing. So you'd say whoever had the most assist titles was a 10
seasonal titles. We just
no, we we didn't do that by position because then it would hurt players by position.
I said assists. So whoever had the most assist titles.
That's what I'm saying. Because if we do that, then we're gonna grade you for all five categories. So if let's just say you're Stockton, you're gonna get the I think he has seven assist titles. If I'm correct,
yeah, that's like having zeros and blocks still.
He's gonna have zeros and blocks and steals.
Yeah. No, not steals, but points, blocks, rebounds. You have all zeros. Yeah. So we just rated them all in one. We just included all five of those categories.
So you took scoring title, assist title, rebound title, block title, steals title, and you said, okay, you have a total of what's
how many? 19.
Whatever.
19 is the most.
19. Okay, so 19, that's a 10. And then, the percentage versus 19.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Jordan has 13, so 13 out of 19.
Yeah, exactly. It would work that way. Because if we did it that way, that would get the best point for everybody as far as their greatness. Because then it would change differently. Same thing with the All-NBA.
So let me ask you this, because I know someone's going to ask it in the chat. So when you have like a – did you, again, when this goes back to the era thing, right? This is why I keep asking the question. So like in Wilt's era, there was 10 teams. So there were 10 centers he was competing with, starting centers, for a rebounding title versus, I don't know, Halliburton this year is competing with 30 other point guards for the assist title.
Yeah, we didn't grade any difficulty in it. We just graded you for just doing the accomplishment.
Because I think Wilt's the one with 19, right?
Yeah, he has 7 scoring titles, 11 rebounding titles, and 1 assist. Yeah, so it's that would make 19.
They changed the criteria now.
Yeah, they changed it afterwards. After him, after he did it, they changed it after him. After 1969, everything went to averages. Prior to that, it was totals.
Okay. All right, so let's just go back again.
Number seven.
Who we got at number seven?
No, Akeem was at number seven. That's what we just finished off.
Number six.
Tim Duncan. Tim A.
That's high. Or that's low. That's high. No, six is fine for Tim. Okay.
Yeah, I think 5-6 is, you know, before I never had Tim Duncan really in my top 10. Like maybe like 4 years ago. I just didn't think he was a top 10 players. And then when I started looking at the numbers, started looking at his career, and, you know, when you're just a fan of the game, sometimes you just don't take everything into, you know, account of what someone did. I always had Michael and Shaq number 1 and 2 up until like 2012. Always had them 1 and 2. And then I started looking more at the careers. And that's when I started. Like, okay, certain players are ahead of Shaq. I never really cared too much for Larry Bird until I started looking at his numbers, watching footage. And I was like, wow, Larry Bird was probably the best player in the 80s. That guy was amazing. Never once did I really give Bird his respect.
That's great. Shaq, just because of his dominance, you had him number 2?
I grew up watching Jordan and Shaq, basically. Like, those are... When I first started watching basketball, it was Jordan, and then Shaq came. It was so dominant, and it was crazy. I don't have Akeem in my top 10. I know a lot of people do, but I don't have him above Shaq. But a lot of people have Akeem above Shaq.
Well, it's a tough one because Akeem did more with less. Hakeem was a more versatile player, better, like, for the longevity of his career. When you watch him, just eyes, he was a more skilled player, right? He's definitely more skilled player, but then when they played head-to-head, he held his own. If not, some people say Hakeem got the better of him. But when you see how Shaq dominated when he was at his best, it's hard to pick.
Hakeem never played that Shaq. That's the thing.
Both sides of my mouth when I do it, because I can make a case for either. You can make a case for either one. You know, you have a guy who had 200 blocks and 100 steals as a 7-footer.
Like, 200 blocks and 200 steals
in multiple. it's insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Sorry, we were talking about Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan at 6 makes sense. I thought he would have been lower on your list because I believe he never led the league in anything.
Right? He has the most all defensive selections.
Yes, right. But I meant in the, like, never led the league in blocks, never led the league in rebounds. He never did that.
He's so high in everything. That's the thing.
Right. So even though he's not one,
if you do so many things great, your number is going to surpass someone who does one thing great.
Never had a season under 50 wins. You gotta give credit for that.
Same thing with Larry. Larry has no seasonal titles neither.
Larry does everything great.
Yeah. Larry has no seasonal titles.
He has not
won. We're at six at Tim Duncan. So I thought that was it. He had no seasonal titles. Okay, so now we're into your top 5.
Yes. I give you the graph for the top 5. Now, before you...
Before you do that, one of the reasons why we did this, because when we did our own criteria and we have our show, and our show is basically Jordan fans. Like, they come on, they love to talk the GOAT debate. And everything that they wanted, we basically made sure that we included it. And they actually think things that they wanted to include to lower what LeBron did and help Jordan. So it's funny that our criteria, you know, we try to cater towards them. We use certain things, like we use certain things that I wouldn't use, but this is what they wanted as well. Like, so
what were a couple of things you wouldn't have used?
Advanced stats.
You wouldn't use advanced stats? How come?
I don't. Advanced stats is really measurements towards what their team. A lot of it is not one-to-one things. It's subjective. For instance, PER. PER, I think, is a terrible advanced metric. I don't think it's a good metric. They add certain values. They put subjectivity into certain things to make that stat. So it's not a one-to-one. So if they're using positive stats minus negative stats, but the positive stats has certain weights to it and the negative stats have certain weights to it. It's not a one-to-one. So if you use a one-to-one of the positive stats minus the negative stats, Magic Johnson would score higher than LeBron and Jordan because he did a lot of things great as well. Oh,
but wouldn't
with your,
I'm not saying I'm not making a case for or against PER. I'm just saying like it's an efficiency stat and
it's not an efficiency stat.
And
that's the thing.
But hold on. Well, it's called a player efficiency rating, is it not?
It's just not. They don't measure efficiency.
And aren't certain things, shouldn't things be weighted more than other things?
Would you grade a
subjectivity?
I agree with you. Listen, we all have our subjectivity.
No, but isn't scoring more important than assists?
No. But would you consider steal more important than a three pointer?
No, I would say a three pointer is more important than a steal.
PER values the steal is the second most valuable thing.
Steal is the second most. Okay.
Yeah. So that's
offensive rebound is rated higher than a defensive rebound. So a defensive rebound ends for possessions, and offensive rebounds, sometimes you could put it up and miss, or you could throw it away, or someone you could pass it and they miss. But that's rated higher than a defensive rebound and a free throw made.
Okay. All right. So that's okay. So that's, but you used it because you were asked to use advanced stats.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure everything that we could be used, like advanced stats, seasonal titles. I don't really think seasonal titles should be used because everything is included in their averages and totals. That's just basically bonus points to me. But, you know, this is what they wanted. They wanted to make sure we didn't show any favoritism to anybody because LeBron only has two. So that's the reason why we think – that's the reason why they think that I was not using that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, mind you, not the last disclaimer of Fluent before we get to the top five. You, as you can see, we both have our own list. We have a separate list. This is our official GOAT James Kingdom. Like we said, our top 50 greatest players of all time from our completely objective and our most comprehensive stats that we can put together to figure this out. So we each have our own criteria for our own list, and we have our subjectivity. As he stated, I include seasonal awards like scoring titles and things of that nature. I don't include advanced stats because I don't think it actually does show us who's the best player of all time. Mm-hmm. Because if we go by PER, does that mean Anthony Davis is really the fourth best player that we've ever seen or most efficient player we've ever seen? Or James Harden is the top 15 most efficient player of all time because of his PER? Again, it's good to know the stats and understand them so we can speak them, but I don't think it determines the greatness of a player. So I wouldn't use that, but I would have a lot of other variables. But this is not our list. This is the GOAT James King
together. You're gonna run out of time.
I'm sorry. Here we go.
We're only an hour long.
I'm sorry. It's up. It's available for you when you want to put it up. Boom. So this is our top five.
We got Bill Russell at five, Jordan at four, Kareem at, Wilt at three. You put it in a weird order, man. Wilt at three, Kareem at two, and oh, what a surprise. What a surprise. GOAT James Kingdom.
LeBron James.
That's LeBron James at number one. What a shocking outcome. Okay, so when you did this objectively, what was your biggest surprise in the top five?
Jordan being four.
Where'd you think he was going to be?
He should have been somewhere between three or two.
Somewhere between three and two? Okay.
But like this, if we remove the seasonal awards, Jordan's actually higher than Wilt Chamberlain. He would have been third.
And let me guess, it didn't surprise you at all that LeBron James is number one and it's not even close.
It's close.
Guys, like, it's less than a point, right? And then you got Kareem at 53, and then there's like a whoop to 56.
Yeah, because LeBron does so many things great. He has so many categories. He's high in, even in the averages. He has the accolades, the advanced stats as well. LeBron James is high in advanced stats, and a lot of the advanced stats, he's number one in. He just has a lot of number one. These are the guys that have the most number ones as far as any statistical categories we want to talk about.
Okay, so what? Okay, so first we're gonna take 30 seconds. Hold on, hold on, because you know we gotta see, we saw the pass. Now we gotta see some scoring, so we need to do that. So bear with.
There you go.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you. He's a friend of mine. Yes, yes, and he goes by the name.
This kid's, just so you know, this kid's where's too bad. He hit a three right after that. It's too bad because that's a 9-year-old playing against 11-year-olds. All right, so give me a couple of key points about each one. We have 5 minutes left, and then I'm gonna question you on some of the things. But give me some of the. Actually, we have a super chat. I think it's for you. Hold on a minute. Reggie Reg says, "How much of your math was weighted using LIT, LeBron inversion theorem?"
Only your fans fluent.
I'll tell you that right now. But maybe
you know
right
what? Now, I think Reggie Reg was on our show the other day. Now that I'm thinking about
it, he was. Yeah, donated money to us too. Thanks, Reggie Reg.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah. Now that you say that,
he got the Bruce Lee thing on there. You know, I'm naming after this song, Brandon Lee.
No, I mean, what sticks out the most, again, like we said, it would be the idea that Jordan is fourth. None of us has Jordan that low in their list. Again, these top five guys should be in your top five list if you know basketball well enough, because they just accomplished all the accomplishments that we all talk about. So, again, LeBron's number one because he just accomplished more than anybody else. We could call it for longevity, whatever it is. I thought Wilt would have been higher, but them being graded separately because they didn't have all the categories available to them helped them out a little bit more. So I do think that we do have flaws. Like we said, it's not a perfect criteria, but I think the fact that we can't grade them for their accolades and achievements before 1976, 1974, it makes it hard.
I'll tell you right now, I don't have Bill Russell in my top 10.
You don't have Bill Russell in your top 10?
No, because other than championships...
I understand that a lot of people don't, but for me, it's hard to say the greatest player without looking at their career. So when I say the greatest of all time, I'm always looking at their career. I don't look at what I think they did on the court.
If you blindly looked at Bill Russell's career, okay, his career as a player, and you saw a guy who shot 50% from the free throw line, 40 something percent from the field, right? Could barely make layups. And unfortunately blocks and steals weren't tracked. So a guy who averaged like 15 points a game, everybody said, "Oh, he's the greatest defender. He's the greatest defender." Okay, fine. You'll give him that. So if you just looked at that and didn't know anything else about Bill Russell, would you even have him in your top 50?
If he's a winner.
Well, no. I said, if you know nothing about what his team
did. If you don't know that he won.
You don't know what his team did. Yeah. Him as a player.
Yes, I would have him in my top five off his rebounds alone. His rebounds alone equate to 30 points per game.
So just so rebounding, so being a great rebounder. So Dennis Rodman, greatest rebounder.
He was a dominant rebounder. It would be beyond that. He's number
one in a dominant rebounder. For his era, dominant rebounder.
Not as good as Bill Russell.
For his time, he absolutely was, when you consider how many missed shots there were because of pace and field goal percentage versus pace and field goal percentage in Dennis Rodman's time. But you don't put Dennis Rodman anywhere near this list.
And Dennis Rodman never averaged 18, 17 points per game in the season. He never averaged double-doubles like that. He wasn't that good. He didn't have five MVPs.
He didn't have five MVPs.
But you said because of rebounds.
No, I'm saying the rebounds alone would be one of the categories that we can talk about.
Rebounds alone.
Yeah, it's the same. Rebounds alone. But when you add everything else on top of it, he's guaranteed top five. I mean, I don't know how. He can't be.
He's winning MVPs for a reason.
I really don't see how he can't be. If you know the game of basketball, there's no way Bill Russell's not top five. I don't know how he can.
The game of basketball, then he's not top five.
I don't know.
Because compared to his contemporaries,
He shot better than his contemporaries. He was the best passing center. And so Jokic came
in. I said his contemporaries, and I apologize. I meant compared to all-time players, compared to all-time.
No, I mean, it wasn't saying we have to compare them to their era. That's what made his rebounding so important. You're talking about an era where people were shooting 40%, less than 40%. When he joined the league, they were shooting 38, 37% as a league. So his rebounding was completely dominant and impactful.
Of course, because they couldn't make a damn shot.
That's what I'm saying, but nobody else was rebounding like that until Wilt came along.
He was Wilt was, but
yeah, I was like, only him and Wilt have those type of rebounding. Only him and Wilt, and then I would say Moses Malone is the next one after them. But again, rebounding.
You think if you threw anybody else in that era, they wouldn't have done the same thing?
No,
really?
Rebounds are a very difficult thing to do. It's not easy.
I think if you put any of the great rebounders of all time in place of Bill Russell, you get the same thing. I also think if Bill Russell, if the Hawks aren't dumb. And they draft him and keep him. You're probably never even speaking Bill Russell's name if he's a St. Louis Hawk. We got 30 seconds left, so you know there's a major announcement that I'm going to do.
You're all here today for a major NBA announcement that I will be entering this year's NBA draft. Over the next few weeks on our podcast, Fluent and Chill, and the panel on Players' Choice.
So I'll invite you guys back. Come draft night. We will be having a draft party to find out what team is making the most fluent decision they'll ever make and draft me into the NBA. Where can we go? Actually, I'm over time. So please, where can everybody other go? James Kingdom, where can people find you if they want to see more of this top 10 list or your content? Good content, by the way, guys. I know that I come at you guys, but I know we all do it back and forth. With much respect, where can everybody find you guys?
All right, we'll make it brief. We go live Sunday
noon. Your city to challenge you to a fight. I'm not jumping on a plane. I'm not doing any of that nonsense. That was funny, by the way.
Yeah, that was funny. Listen, we go live every Sunday noon Eastern time to talk the GOAT conversation in basketball. We are GOAT James Kingdom. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, where Fluent and I go at each other all the time. And also Twitter. So that's where you can find us. Again, we are GOAT James Kingdom. I'm A. Johnny, the Exposer. That's B. Lee, the Sports Analyst.
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you. Until next
Thank you.
Until next week, now you're more fluent.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.